starting verse 9 there, Isaiah 28, verse 9. I'll read a couple verses while you turn there. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. In other words, as long as you do not grow spiritually, read your Bible, get involved in verse-by-verse studies, as well as supplementary studies of topics and such. You stay on the milk, which most Christians today stay on the milk. And that's why they don't ever come to a knowledge or understanding of doctrine. It says so right there. Verse 10, for precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. When God repeats himself, he's not stuttering. He's emphasizing. Line upon line, line upon line. Here a little and there a little. That's summarized with the words, scripture with scripture. Now, why? He says, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. See, God's desire is that they come to him and rest, but they're wicked and won't repent. So what's it say? Read verse 13 with me. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. In other words, if you don't approach God's word with humility, with a desire to know the truth, and studying to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, and you just treat the Bible like a cookbook where you just look for some tasty little morsel that you like, totally ignoring the context, attending churches where that's the way they use the Bible, and so you're going to fall in a ditch. Yep. Liberals, for example, who don't even really believe the Bible, don't even believe the gospel, and yet they have churches. Most of the United Methodist churches, most of the Episcopal churches, most of the Presbyterian Church USA churches, almost all the American Baptist churches, and so forth. They're apostate. They have a lot of them have women preachers. They have homosexuals and lesbians as ministers. Why? Because they don't believe the Bible. It's just a big, it's a place to gather where they can all kind of mingle and have some fellowship. And here's some words of wisdom where you'll have the Bible quoted 1 minute and Ralph Waldo Emerson the next. And you just never know what you're going to hear. And they'll quote the Bible, but it's never in context. And it's always just used any way they want to. Why? Because they're wicked. And God says, you know what? You want to fall? I'm going to let you fall. I'll just make it real easy on you. That's what he's done. Look over at Matthew. So he says, well, that's Old Testament. Well, okay. Let's go to Matthew. Chapter 13. Beginning verse 11. Now, the first time I heard anybody teach this, I got a little angry. At first. But then by the time they got done teaching this, I realized, you know, that's exactly how God works. I've read the Bible at that point. I've read the Bible a number of times. I see God honors the humble who approach him with a broken and contrite spirit. But he cannot stand the proud and the arrogant. You know what Lucifer did? Go read sometime Isaiah 14 and count how many times Lucifer says, I will, I will. That's the attitude God hates. You have that attitude, God's going to let you. He'll probably push you in the ditch. Trip you. You think not? Matthew 13:11 says, he answered, this Jesus, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. That's believers. The humble. But to them, what? It is not given. Verse 12, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. In the context, you can think of the Pharisees. They had power and prestige and all that. As soon as they died, rejecting Christ, all lost. Verse 13, this is Jesus now. Read that. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And then he says in verse 14, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. Now read verse 15 with me. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. God has set it up so if you're wicked and unrepentant and proud and arrogant, He has just made it so that you're going to slip and slide to hell.
Amen.
But if you will approach Him humbly, then you... And you is given to know the kingdom, the mysteries of the kingdom. Read 16, 17. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. So, bottom line is what Paul said, when he said, I thank God without ceasing that when ye heard the word of God, you received it as it is the word of God. He said, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh in them that believe. See, but if you don't believe, meaning receiving it as the word of God, the liberal denies that this is from God. The liberal says that's not God's book. If you go talk to very many people at all about the gospel, try to give out gospel tracts, you'll have them just blurted out these days more than I've ever seen before. I don't believe in that 2,000-year-old book. You following that old book, whatever, you know, blah, 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 blah. That's why you... I tell them, well, as long as that's your attitude, you'll never be saved. Because the Bible says you can't be saved unless you receive the Bible as God's Word. And that's why there's not very many people being saved these days. The wicked fall on these truths. The Trinity. All the cults and false religions deny the Trinity. Why? Because you have to compare Scripture with Scripture. And there's not a verse that says God is a Trinity, period. Why didn't God make it that plain? We just read why. The same thing about the deity of Christ. I mean, it's clear if you just read the passages, but what they'll do is zero in on the passages where it emphasizes His humanity. See?
Yeah.
And God put them in there just so if they wanted to, they could choke on it. That's the truth. Yeah, I mentioned that as you out there just a moment ago. Jenny's heard it so many times through the years. God gives them enough rope that they'll hang themselves.
I mean, what do you think of studying this Christmas? And you think Emmanuel, God with us.
Yeah.
Come on. Like,
and you listen to him explain that away, and you're thinking, you are just wicked. There's no way anybody with anybody just going on reasoning, you at least have to admit, you may choose to deny it's there, or it's true, but you can't deny it's there. Any honest person, no matter what they believe, has to admit that the Bible teaches Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. Of course, the new versions don't help. Because if you go to your King James Bible, 1 Timothy 3:16 says God was manifest in the flesh. The new versions all take that out. It says he who appeared in a body, or he was manifest in the flesh. They remove the reference to him being God, and they do that in several passages. But there's still enough in there, Doug. Like you said, there's still enough in there, even in the bad Bibles, that any honest man's going to know that. Yeah, Johnny?
It reminds me of a scene from a recent, well, not recent, but a Disney movie. If you remember Tarzan,
yep.
How the villain dies in the end, how basically he's like among all these
bodies.
Sorry.
No, go ahead. Most people have seen
it. Among the bodies, and he's trying to cut himself free, but in the end, he ends up getting hung by them.
Yeah.
So it's,
that's kind of
similar to what we're describing.
Kind of a word picture for that. Yeah.
Yeah, they're trying to destroy the Bible, but in the end, they're just destroyed themselves.
Now, if you don't believe the first two, you're not even saved. You're not a Christian. You can't believe the gospel if you don't believe Jesus is God. I mean, a man or an angel can't die for your sins. But these last two, among Christians, you say they're wicked. I believe Christians can be just as wicked as the world at times.
Yeah.
And they'll turn on Israel, and it always goes hand in hand with anti-Semitism. They'll talk about the Jews like they're scumbags and all that. And then the preacher of rapture is another one. Why do people trip on that? Because it does. They'll even say it. Show me one verse. I'm like, I can show you verses that teach the imminent rapture, but you come to an understanding of the rapture, not just one verse, but comparing Scripture with Scripture. And among other things, the fact that there's no church from Revelation 6 to Revelation 19. There's saints, just like the word in the Old Testament, but there's no church, etc. So these are just some examples where you see these people who, because of their wickedness and their refusal to actually study the Bible, Scripture with Scripture. That's not to mean everybody who denies 3 and 4. There are some exceptions, but most of the people I've met, once they go down that road, it's bad stuff. So we continue with that attitude of Scripture with Scripture. Look at again back in Luke 6:37. After it says, judge not and ye shall not be judged. Still not a period. But says, condemn not and ye shall not be condemned. So, does that mean you never condemn? There are people who teach that. And that's why they think that they're being wonderfully godly by openly accepting the LGBT movement and all that stuff. Because they're taught never to condemn. Now, let me ask you, do you never condemn these things? Look up here. Do you never condemn abortion? Right?
We do not never condemn.
Yeah, I want some clarity on that. You never condemn abortion? Huh? Absolutely. What about child abuse? Well, wait a minute. It says condemn not, you should not be condemned. You condemn rape? Blasphemy?
Yep.
False gospels?
Yep.
There's a lot of Christians who say, oh, I don't think you should judge another man's religion. Well, you're an antichrist. That's what the antichrist will do. All religions will come together as one. The Bible says we're to judge. We're to put them on trial. Try the spirits. Search the Scriptures to see if what you're being taught is so. Galatians chapter 1 says if you preach a false gospel, you're accursed.
Yeah,
Paul, he was so judgmental. Always condemning.
Well, Paul said he teaches falsely.
Yeah, it's Galatians 1. So, of course we do. Did you miss the... He let out a big explosion. Look at Romans chapter 2. I didn't scare him. He liked it. Do it again, Papa.
Do it again.
Romans 2 verses 1 through 3 is another example of because we take the whole counsel of God, comparing Scripture with Scripture. We know that the judge not crowd and the never condemn crowd is wrong. But when is it wrong? Verse 1 says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, what? Thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doeth what?
The same.
In other words, a big hypocrite. Verse 2, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? You know, there's preachers who stood up here and just blasted adulterers while they're committing adultery. And then they get caught. There have been preachers get up and blast homosexuality. And then it's found out they've got escorts and all kinds of things on the side. That's what Paul's talking about. But I hope that you don't think this is boasting, because it's not really a big thing to boast about. It should be pretty normal to understand. I am not committing adultery, and I am not a homosexual closet, you know, in the closet or out, you know. And so if I preach against adultery or homosexuality, this doesn't apply. But if there's some sin, I'll tell you, one of them is when I'm driving, sometimes the way people drive, if I had a laser, they'd be dead. So I don't stand up here and, you know, pound on that all the time, because, you know, it's something I deal with too. I don't say, well, if you get mad at people who cut you off, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
I'm still waiting for the revised code that lets CDL drivers run over idiots.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, you have to bear watch, Pedro, though, it goes both ways on that. That one time, I got really upset at a trucker down there in Cincinnati about killed me and Jenny, but we had the kids behind us. You know, and I'm like,
video. You the video out.
Yeah.
And I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
He was an idiot.
And that's why, you know, I think that there's a certain level of anger that is justifiable.
Yeah.
But then if the wrong word slips out, that's not right. Or threats. I'm going to kill you. You know. Where's Brother Mark when we need him? But let's look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Beginning of verse 9. It looks like we're going to read a ton, but it's not, chapter 5 only has 13 verses. And it begins in verse 9. He says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Now this is a tough one. Verse 10, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, meaning, you know, you shouldn't have company with, meaning having close relationships with. We shouldn't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. So normally unbelievers are going to be involved with these sins, and you got to watch having close friendships with people who are not Christians for that very reason. He says, for then must ye needs go out of the world, because they're everywhere. But verse 11, he says, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. Meaning, you know, you don't just hang out with them and, you know, act like there's nothing going on. It's rare that I've had to do this, but there's a couple times where we were having church functions, and I had to ask somebody not to come. Somebody who was coming regular to the services. But I said, you know, until you get that thing right, you know, you're welcome to come to the services. But when we're getting together and just hanging out and everything, this is for the church family who is not involved in unrepentant sin. And, you know, that sounds so foreign to people these days. But that's the way it's supposed to be. And that's in my personal life. I mean, I'm not mean to anybody, but I don't invite people over to my house to hang out if they're involved in open sin, unless it's for the purpose of confronting them. That's the only reason I'd invite them over. Now, you don't go around investigating everybody, but you know what I mean? There's certain people today who are out of the closet and proud of their sin. And they're demanding that you accept it. And you accommodate it. And that's not good enough. They want you to promote it. They want you to have a rainbow flag and have a sign out that says, all are welcome, like the Methodists down here. No. They're welcome to come in, but they're going to hear preaching that's going to step on their toes when it comes to their sin. That's true about covetous people, idolaters, railers, drunkards, etc. It's about all of them. He says in verse 12, for what have I to do to judge them also that are without? In other words, you'd have your hands full trying to judge people outside. Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without God, but them that are without, meaning the world, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. And we've had to do that. It's not fun, but it's necessary. Look at chapter 6. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust, not before the saints? Yes, it happens all the time. Christians suing Christians. Instead of getting together and settling it. Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? That's going to be wild. How much more things that pertain to this life? He's telling you to judge. But he's telling you not to be a hypocrite. And he's giving you instructions. Verse 4, he says, if then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. That's a wild thought. Read verses 5 and 6. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. So it shouldn't be that you're suing one another. But it's also a fact that you shouldn't be allowing sin, open, unrepentant sin among you. So what do? You confront them. And you don't put them in position. I've seen churches just throw people in positions, even though it's even known that they're not living the way they ought to. So we don't condemn falsely, and we don't set up our own standards, and we're not to be hypocrites. So those are the rules to follow when it comes to judging and condemning sin. It's not to condemn somebody based on your opinion of something. So in closing, back to Luke 6, the verse closes out saying, forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Now, this is the big one. This is the big one today. Unconditionally?
No.
The Bible never teaches that you or God forgives unconditionally. It's conditioned on you being repentant. But they're throwing repentance out not only of the gospel, repent and believe the gospel no longer is preached, but they're also throwing repentance out of the church. And they're saying, oh, you just forgive people unconditionally. That's not what the Bible says. A big N-O. Luke 17:3. Take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. You got to be willing to do that. And if he repent, forgive him. Most Christians either pretend it didn't happen, or they just get mad and go away. Leave church, break off friendships, whatever. Both are wrong. If someone has done something and you know it's a sin, and it's a sin that should be brought before the church, we don't have time to run all the references of Matthew 18. Jesus gave the directions. You go to the pastor. First you go to them. If they won't hear you, then you go to the pastor. We'll go talk to them. And then if they won't hear, we'll try a third time with another witness. And after that, then you have to say, you know what? This is wickedness and you're not welcome. That's a tough one, but that's the way God prescribed it. And if you are not only a witness to it, but they have done something against you, then you are to rebuke them. And that doesn't mean you have to scream and yell and throw things. You can calmly walk up to a person and say, listen, I love you, but that is absolutely wrong. It's a sin against God, it's a sin against me, and it's not right. And I expect that you are going to repent and apologize and to own up to your sin. And I'm going to tell you, pride gets in the way. And people won't do it. Well, that's you to forgive if they repent. So you're careful in judging, biblical when condemning, and ready always to forgive. You see, when we say you, it's not unconditional. They must repent. But here's where you might have a problem. You have to be ready. And a lot of people, even when someone comes and repents and says, I'm sorry I did that, I was wrong. And you even hear people say it out of their mouth. I'll never be able to forgive them for that. That's wrong. You should be ready to forgive, because your attitude should be like Jesus' attitude, which is He would that all men should repent. You should have that attitude toward others, that all would repent. And that you could... Restitution is what it's all about. Do you want to...
Yeah, there's a Bible verse that I was thinking of that does that. That's Matthew 7, verse 1 through about 5. It says, judge not, then you shall be judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with the measure you might, it shall be measured unto you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in the brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in your own eye? Or how will I say unto thee, brother, let me pull out the mote out of thy eye, and behold, a beam is in thy eye. Thy hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thy eye, and then shall thy see clearly to cast out the mote out of the brother's eye.
Amen. There are several other passages that could come into play, but that's one of the best related passages. And we have a message on that. We call it the Judge Not Heresy. Some of you have heard that. And if you want more on this, and you want to hear that text expounded, go to the Judge Not Heresy. But amen. It's good stuff. Amen.
Amen.